to find. And in fact, maybe we've gotten to the point that God has become our enemy. And I'm just going to say, if God's your enemy, guys, we're in big trouble. Because, like, He is all-powerful. And I know that He is love, but you always have to remember, God is judge, too, right? And in this part of who God is, oftentimes in our day and age, is almost avoided even talking about it. But I want us to know that if we want, like, America to be a God-blessed America, then we have to be an America God can bless, okay? Because His very own people, the people of Israel, found themselves on the backside of God because they just continued to spurn His offers to repent. And so, name off some of the sins that were kind of highlighted sins that they were involved in. Can anybody tell me? Idolatry. They were actually setting up like false gods in the worship area that was set aside for God. Shelly? They were killing their babies. They were killing their babies to the foreign gods and sacrificing them. And, you know, we would say, well, we would never do that in America. But really, what is abortion? You know? And so, unfortunately, we're seeing this happen. And it's very important that we learn from the past so that we don't repeat the past. And so I want you to be open to Lamentations chapter 4. In verse 9, we stopped at verse 8, finished verse 8 last week, and we saw where the Nazarites, or some versions would say nobles, who used to be brighter than snow and whiter than milk and more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance, but their appearance is blacker than soot. In other words, they'd gotten to the point where like their whole situation in the city was so desperate that even the rich people, even the people that were set apart for the Lord, even those people, everybody was affected. There wasn't anybody so rich that they were insulated from this. And so what had happened was, at this point, Babylon had built siege ramps around the city of Jerusalem. Nobody was going in, and nobody was coming out. So it was impossible for people to be able to get supplies. And so they just waited them out. And the army just encamped around the city until they were trying to starve them out. And this is, if it's not for the grace of God giving us a morality, I want you to know there's no real morality outside of godliness, out of God Himself, okay? And some people would say, well, there's common sense. I can tell you, even common sense comes from God. Even when an unbelieving person has enough sense to know how to take care of their child, that still is coming from God, even if they don't realize it. And if God withdraws His grace, there's no end to how bad it can get. And I'm just about to read a verse that just shows that, and it almost hurts my heart to even think about reading it, because I love you guys, and I don't even want to think about such things. But I can tell you, it can get this bad. If we reject God, this is where we go. So look at verse 9. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. For these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. Isn't that just terrible? It's awful, and it's just like it appalls me, it shocks me, and I don't even want to read it, but I just want us to know that there's not a whole lot of difference between that and harvesting unborn babies for medical cures. There's not a lot of difference between that and some of the ways that we're taking people apart to make you know, therapies for other people and stuff like that. I mean, we're getting to this point. We really honestly need to pray that our people as a whole, as a nation, will turn to God while we still have a chance. But I, you know, think about that. It had gotten so bad that literally this was their attitude toward their own young, their own children. And I know this is probably hard for any of us to imagine being like this, because I can tell you, I'd rather die as to see, you know, one of my children harmed, right? But you know why I feel that way? It's because God protects that part of my heart so that I feel that way. And so it's still God, and we have to realize it has to be God. And so we need to recognize who He is. That's not just common sense. That's God sense. That's God in the midst of us. Let's pray right now that we wouldn't go any lower as a nation. Let's just stop. Dear God, I am praying right now as I read this verse, Lord, that just breaks my heart for where Your people Israel had gotten immorality. Lord, that they looked at their children as a way to save their own life. And Lord, I'm just praying to You, please don't let us stoop that low as a nation, God. Please help us as a people and as individuals to take a stand in godliness, to say, God, if You don't supply it, I don't want it. God, if it don't come from Your hand, if it isn't according to Your desire, I don't want it. And Lord, that we would look to You and You alone to supply our every need. And Lord, our number one need is a spiritual need. We need to repent of the wrong that we are doing in our society, Lord. And we need to ask for a real revival in the church that turns into an awakening like we've never seen in our nation. And Lord, I do pray for an awakening in our nation, cause us to want what is right. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue reading on in verse 11. The Lord has fulfilled His fury. He has poured out His fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured its foundations. Does God ever get angry? He does. Does He ever pour out His wrath? He does. If you want to see it in more modern times, that's what happened on the cross when Jesus hung there and He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? That was God pouring out His wrath on sin. And if we receive Christ, then His wrath won't have to be poured out on us. But if we don't receive Christ, what we're seeing here is like a tip of the iceberg. Hell is forever, guys. Hell is worse than this, and it's forever. We must repent and turn our lives over to Christ. It's the only hope. It goes on in verse 12, the kings of the earth and all inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. Because, okay, why were they allowed in? Okay, this was an unusual thing. When the Assyrians took over everything else, they couldn't go into Jerusalem. In fact, the angel of the Lord came and killed 185,000 of their warriors that night so that they couldn't come into Jerusalem. It was a miracle. It was a miraculous deliverance. But here's the thing, guys. The reason why they were allowed in this time was verse 13, because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests who shed in her midst the blood of the just. It was because, let me put it into today's terms, and I think this is a pretty accurate representation. It was because the church stopped being the church that the entire society had to fall. And so what we've got to understand is we need to be the representatives of God. Then they had the prophets and they had the priests who were supposed to be bringing the word of God to the people. But you remember what happened to Jeremiah whenever he was like the last prophet, the last true prophet? All those other false prophets were lying, and they tried to kill him. Whenever he brought the true word of God, they wanted to kill him for it. And guys, if we don't turn, we can go the same place. We really need to call people to a level of repentance. It's serious. In verse 14, they wander blind in the streets, and they have defiled themselves with blood so that no one would touch their garments. They cried out to them, go away, unclean, go away, go away, do not touch us. When they fled and wandered, those among the nations said, they shall no longer dwell here. The face of the Lord scattered them. He no longer regards them. The people do not respect the priests, nor show favor to the elders. Still our eyes failed us, watching vainly for our help. In our watching, we watched for a nation that could not save us. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's the only one that can save us. He's the only one who can help us. People are not going to be able to deliver in that day, so we must be right with the Lord. In verse 18, they tracked our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near. Our days were over, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and laid in wait for us in the wilderness. Guys, there was no place. There was no place to run. There was no place to hide. And it's just like the judgments of the Lord. There's not going to be any place to hide from Him. If you read Revelation, you begin to see that in the last days, whenever it comes down to the time of judgment, there's not going to be any place to hide. And see, and if God is your enemy at that given time, point in time, you're done for. And even now as a nation, if we won't repent, we can find that God would withhold His hand of protection off of us. Have they ever been able to attack us in our nation? We used to think that it was impossible, really, to be attacked here. Guys, they used our own airplanes to take down two of our buildings. And they tried to take out the Pentagon, which was our place where our, you know, all of our military leadership basically is. And we don't know where the fourth plane was headed. But what we do know is if God's hand is lifted even for a moment, we have no clue what can happen. And so what does that mean? It means seek the Lord. Be His church. Be His people. Repent of our sin, right, first. And then repent for the sins of the nations and ask God to heal us. And continue to ask and don't stop asking. And in our nation, another thing that we can do is we can actually be active in public policy too, can't we? We can kind of step into that place and help steer things in the right direction, right? And I think that that's all part of it. I think we should be active when we can in the schools and help whatever way we can to point the children in the right direction as well, you know? I think one way that we have to do that, to help change this next generation, I can't touch, you know, how many millions of children do you think there are in our nation? It would be impossible for me to do it, but you know what I can do? I can do what I can do. I can touch the number of children that I have in my sphere of influence, okay? And some of those are in my own home first, right? That needs to be our number one, okay? And then God opens doors that we can drive our van and pick up kids that want to come to church, right? There's number two. And then now they've opened the door in the school that we can go set and mentor a kid for half an hour a week. You want me to tell you what my mentee said last week? We were meeting together. He said, when my grandpa died, it really hurt me so bad that I kind of got to the point where I just didn't even believe God was real until you came into my life last year. And he said, now I know God is real. And he said, I have seen the way that He has answered my prayers. I just want you to know, guys, I haven't done anything spectacular. In fact, I'm probably not very good at it. But I show up for half an hour a week and I just talk to the guy and I listen to him. And we put together a puzzle and stuff, you know? It really isn't that earth-shattering. I'm not even very good at putting together puzzles. We went out to shoot baskets and he goes, wow, you're pretty bad at this. And I said, you know, I am. And I've always wanted to be better. Can you teach me? And he actually taught me how to shoot baskets. And I did get better. You see, just for a few moments. All I'm saying is, it's not rocket science. If you're available and you're willing, you know. It's an awesome way just to share part of our life with a kid. It's cool. It really is. And so that's one way. And another way is just going and praying at school. You know, it used to be, we weren't allowed into the school to pray. Did y'all know that? We had groups who went to try to pray over the school in the before school system our school year started, and they asked you guys to stay out in the parking lot, didn't they? I remember it. If you guys don't mind, maybe you could just stay out in the parking lot and let us know when you're here. You know, it was almost like, ooh, we're almost afraid of you people. Now they've developed a plan that they give us a room in the school to do it during the school day in the morning, right before school starts. Praise God! Let's take full advantage of it. Let's go for it. Because you know what we're doing when we walk in there? We're bringing the Spirit of God into that school with us. We are encouraging the other Christian teachers and students. You see, it's making a difference, and we need to keep it up. Anna? You know something I just thought of? On the third Thursday of every month, they have a school board meeting. And do you know what they do before the school board meeting? They eat dinner. Why don't we supply dinner for them one time? You know, get out in front of it and say, hey, guys, We know that y'all, I'm the only one in this group who knew that, and I haven't thought of it till then. So, you know, but it just hit me like this would be a way we could reach out to our school board, too, and just let them know we care. We love them, you know. So if you guys will cook, I'll ask them. I don't want me cooking. Are you okay with cooking? Yes. School board meeting, it's just for the school board themselves, so it's just a handful, maybe eight. Something like that, nine. Yeah, well, you. Yeah. They set up a few chairs for visitors, but they don't offer us food when we're visitors. I've gone. In fact, they ate while I sat there, but it was cool. But anyway, if we brought the meal, we could eat with them. That could be another fun thing. They just do it as fun before because, you know, it takes them a little while and it's a way that they can fellowship. But anyway, as we move on, just think about it. So the face of the Lord is what scattered them. He no longer regards them. Verse 16, the people do not respect the priests nor show favor to the elders. Have you noticed that there's getting to be less and less respect for the church in our nation? You know, part of that is that we're hiding inside the church and we're despising when we're outside of the church. And we need to make sure that we don't despise the lost people. We really need to make sure that we find ways to connect with them and show them that we do love them and become a significant presence in their lives that's in a good way. Now, I don't mean we go along with what they're saying and doing. In fact, we can't. But what it means is we show them that, yeah, we stand in this place because of the word of the Lord, but we love you and God loves you and he wants to win your heart. And so as we do that, you know, we can begin to see a change. They tracked our steps, right, so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near. Our days were over, for end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and lay in wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was caught in their pits. Of whom we said, under his shadow, we shall live among the nations. As I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the only way that we can be saved. He's the only way, putting ourselves in Christ. In verse 21, rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, you who dwell in land of Uz, the cup shall also pass over to you. You see, Edom, that was the Edomites, those were the descendants of Esau. They were celebrating at the destruction of Jerusalem. That wasn't going to be cool in the long run. He says, you're going to be next. The cup shall also pass over you. That's the cup of judgment. And you shall become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no longer send you into captivity. He will punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover your sins. I just want you to know Jesus is the only way. And he is the way. And he is more than enough to save us. He has all salvation in him. You are on the right way and the one true way. There's a lot of counterfeit ways that are being offered out there, guys. And I'm just going to tell you, here's the deal. I'm going to be kind of bold in what I say. Any other way, and I think you're going to agree with me, any other way is from Satan. Because it don't matter how good the people look like they're living, it's still not good enough to make it into heaven. It don't matter what kind of morality it seems to be, you know, proposing. If it's not Christ and the Christ and the only Christ, the living Christ, and him covering us with his precious blood by what he spilled on the cross, guys, it is not going to suffice in the day of judgment. So every other way that tricks people, we can name them off, all the isms that are out there. Start naming off some isms. Mormonism. We're actually going to watch a video right now about Mormonism. Catholicism. Yeah, Catholicism alone is not going to get anybody to heaven. Can you think of any others?
Socialism.
Yeah, that's true. That's almost like a religion that's being proposed, isn't it? Yeah. Communism. Buddhism. Hinduism. Yeah. And I'll take one even without an ism on it, but just Islam.
Yeah.
Islam. Yeah, it's one of the fastest growing religions in the world, and I'll tell you why. Because they'll kill you if you don't join in with them. And if you don't know any better, You'll take that rather than the sword, right? But if you know Christ, then you know the one true one. And even if the sword got you, where are you going? Yeah, you're going to heaven, right? Atheism, very good. Humanism. Hmm? Communism? Yeah, very good. Very good. Well, what we're going to do, I think it's about a 21-minute video, but I want you to understand just a little bit more about Mormonism, because sometimes they look kind of Christian, don't they? And a lot of, and they'll tell you that they are Christians because they believe in a Christ. But I want you to see some of the things that go along with what they believe. This video doesn't tell you all the things that they believe. It just tells you some of the things that they believe. But these are from former Mormons who have now come to Christ, and they're telling you the things that they now understand that they believe that were false. Word of prayer for all the people that are believing that Mormonism might be the way. Okay, we got a lot of information that we went over there, and there's a lot more. Believe me, there's a lot more information that shows us just what a false belief system that it really is. But let's just pray. Dear God, I pray that you would help to set people free from these lies. And Lord, it's no doubt that Joseph Smith is a false prophet, or was a false prophet. They actually still have prophets that they recognized even today that changed things in their own book. And so, Lord, I pray that others would see just that there isn't any proof behind this way of thinking. And many of them do actually own a King James Version of the Bible as well. And I pray that they'll begin to read your word and realize that your word trumps everything. It is truth. And Lord, if you will confirm that in their hearts, it can lead them out of Mormonism. We saw the contradictory scriptures that they consider scriptures out of their Book of Mormon, and how the biblical scriptures actually show the truth in those matters. There's only one true living God, and it's you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll be honored and glorified, and that you'll be saving people out of this false belief system. In Jesus' name, amen. So, just a few minutes here. I want you to understand that it's not unusual that there are false prophets. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2, he warned us of this. He said, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. So, what we can see is Mormonism started a lot the same way that Islam started. Supposedly, he had an encounter with an angel. Okay, what are demons? Can anybody tell me what a demon is? It's a fallen angel. So I have no doubt they probably did have an encounter with an angel. It wasn't the right kind of angel. And it was one who told them lies, and then they went on to become liars. And a lot of people are held in that captivity. So what did you think about the information that was shared there? Did you learn some new things, hopefully, and better understanding of what they believe? Okay, now one of the main reasons why I want us to understand is not just to focus on the false belief system, but I want us to be knowledgeable, because do you know who the number one denomination is that they get converts from? Southern Baptist. Number one denomination that they get converts from is Southern Baptist. And I'll tell you why I think that is, because so often Southern Baptists depend on their preachers to feed them, and oftentimes they don't read the Bible themselves. And they think, well, if once saved, always saved, what am I worried about growing in the Lord for? And so then the Mormons come along, and I actually talked to one standing right in our parking lot out there one day. He was supposed to be the company to put up the tower. And he told me he was a Latter-day Saint, and he didn't see any problem, you know, with he felt like it was just like what we believe. And so I said, so what, tell me a little bit about your testimony. Where do you come from? What were you like? He said, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. My parents did traveling music ministry. I've been in the church since like the day I was born. And I said, so let me ask you just a little something I got to ask you. How did you make the transition from Southern Baptist to Mormonism then? And he said, well, I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't read the Bible myself much, if any. And he said, when my family was really in a bad place, the Southern Baptist Church just kind of kicked us to the curb. And he said, the church that we were in didn't even come and visit us. We saw no point in going back whenever we started to get back on our feet. And a Mormon missionary came to our house and showed interest in my wife and started doing Bible study with her. And he said, it brought us some feeling of comfort. And I said, well, do you understand what all that the Mormon you know, organization really believes? And he said, you know, at this point, I really don't care that much. It sounds pretty good to me. And they ministered to our family. And so I said, well, would you like to know a little bit more about what they believe? And so I've done a little study on it. And so first, I started out with what we believe and how it's biblical that Jesus is the, you know, he is God. He always has been. He came to earth during this period in virgin birth so that he could live a life being 100% man, 100% God, and then give his life on the cross to pay for our sins. That he was the only one to live a sinless life. And so I kind of went through that. He didn't have a problem with it. And so I asked him, I said, so what do Mormons believe about where Jesus came from? And about where God the Father came from? And he said, you know, I don't know that I've ever asked any of them. And I said, well, they say that God was once a man who became God. He became a God, and he got his own universe. And he said, no way. And I said, no, you need to do some study. Go ahead and research what I'm telling you and just see if that's really true. And I said, and that God and his wife got together, and they had some children. One of them was Satan, and the other one was Jesus, so they're spirit brothers. And he goes, wait a minute. He said, there's no way you could be telling me the truth here. And I said, and here's another one that I would like to ask you. I said, do you realize that there's people in the Mormon church today that believe if they have the right wife and they do the right works that they get to be a God someday and have their own universe? And he goes, whoa. He said, it sounds like I need to do some research. So we think it doesn't matter that we talk to somebody. And yeah, I know I went out on a limb. The guy could have got mad at me. But you know one thing I know for sure standing in that parking lot? If he doesn't believe in the true Jesus, he's going to hell whenever he dies. Not because he's a worse guy than me or than anybody else, but because he has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and he has not accepted Jesus, the true Jesus, as his Lord and Savior. And he needs to. And so the more that we talked, you know, the more that he became almost in disbelief. He said, it almost feels like you must be making this stuff up. And I said, well, here's another question I'm going to ask. I said, if the Book of Mormon contradicts the Bible, which one are you going to believe? So will you believe the Book of Mormon or will you believe the Bible? He said, well, I suppose the Bible. And I said, okay, along with that, if your prophet from Salt Lake City contradicts the Bible, which one are you going to believe, the prophet or the Bible? And he said, well, I suppose the Bible. And I said, then I would suggest that you start reading the Bible. Because you see, if he believes the Bible, then he reads the Bible and he understands the Bible. You know where the Bible's going to lead him? It's not going to lead him to Mormonism. It's going to lead him to the true Jesus. And so, you know, making sure, and if he would have told me Mormonism, then I would have said, well, you know, there's really not any more I can do to help you. But at least it raised a doubt. And I pray that that man went home and started doing some research. Okay? I handed him a card. You know those cards I'm giving you guys? On the back of that card, I said, right there, you can go check out that video and it'll give you more information. Because that information is good information, you see. For a person that may have followed Mormonism all their life and wondered about it, whenever it says they've never found not one of the cities that are listed that are supposed to be in North America from that time period, and all these other false claims that have been proven to be wrong, begins to raise a whole lot of doubts in their minds, which is good. Now, on one hand, we could say, but they live like really moral people, you know? Their families look like real moral families, right? Guys, it's not being real moral that gets us to heaven, right? Even if we're pretty good, if we've even broken the law in even one point, 613 of them, by the way, then we're guilty as though we're guilty of all of it. And we need a Savior. They need a Savior. So I don't do this to down somebody. And these days, you know, it's like, we're not allowed to offend anybody. It's a constitutional right not to offend anybody. I just got a new Trump hat today. You think that's going to offend anybody? Okay. But anyway, what I really want to make sure is that we stand on the Scripture, because the Scripture does offend. Okay? We want to make sure we stand on the Scripture. Yes, sir? Yeah. Is that right? Yeah, is that right? I know that they have one of their smaller temples up there by Missouri Baptist University, and it was actually Missouri Baptist that sold them the land. Isn't that a crazy thing? That's a crazy thing. So they're actually planning on building the bigger temple, the worldwide? Yeah. 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 We see Missouri has some history for whenever he was moving west. Joseph Smith actually went through Nauvoo, Illinois, and he hung out there for a while, so there's a lot of Mormons live in that area. And then he crossed over the river, and whatever the name of that town is, there's Palmyra up there, and it must be somewhat significant because they were saying some of this stuff was happening in Palmyra, New York. And so it's right across the river, the Mississippi. And so it's up around Hannibal area. And, huh? Drive through there all the time, yeah. And so what I want you to understand, guys, it's not to look down on the folks. It's that, you know, really, so we'll be knowledgeable enough to pray for them and help them. So when they come to your house, have you ever had a Mormon come to your house?
No.
Never have? Have you?
The biggest principle is that to look at Mormon is an addition to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
To complete it.
Yeah, to help complete it. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
The word.
And that's a really important fact right there. So I'm going to ask you guys something. Is this the complete Word of God? Okay, if you believe that this is the complete Word of God, then you won't believe somebody if they say, oh, well, you need this last volume, the Book of Mormon. It actually completes the Word of God. No, this is the complete Word of God, okay? And we don't have any other books. And you see why Satan's always throwing that stuff out on the internet? Oh, there's some lost books. There's some ones that were rejected because they didn't want you to know the truth. I'm just going to tell you, if God could oversee the writing of it, and He most definitely did, God also oversaw the translation process and the canon process. We have the complete Word of God.
That's one of our major
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the missionaries are very, very sincere. I really got a lot of respect for them. They give like 2-3 years of their life to doing the mission work somewhere in the world. And man, I mean, they're serious about it. They're big time serious about it. And in fact, we were working in DeSoto one time whenever the missionaries came down the street. And they stopped, and we were working on a roof, and my dad was up on the roof, and he goes, oh, the guy you want to talk to is in the backyard back there. And they come around, and he looked up over the roof, and he goes, you're going to enjoy this. He sent them around to me. But I just asked him some questions, you know. I mean, really, if you know some good questions to ask, you don't even have to have all the information. Just ask them some questions. Well, they picked up pretty quick that I was an evangelical Christian. Brigham Young. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I know. There's a lot. There really is a lot of scandal. And the thing about getting baptized for the dead, they actually have people that are like professional baptism people. They go to the temple and they, like, this is kind of their job, is to take on names of people they believe that died that weren't baptized, and they like take on their identity, and then they go get baptized for them because they mm-hmm. yeah Yeah, so we can kind of see who's working in that and who's behind it. Yes, sir? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Might be able to become a god. And you know, that sounds crazy to us. They call it God Makers. There was actually an expose done called God Makers about this, because literally they convinced these men that they can become God, a god. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a bunch of hoops you got to jump through, and you got to have the right wife. Yes. Yeah, in 100 different ways. Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to spend all of our time focusing on the way that he twisted it, but for their sake, I think it's good for us to have an idea of what they believe so that we can help them.